You put the genealogies together, that gives you a space of time, and you do some quick math, and you know what? It's been about 6,000 years since Adam and Eve. Wait a minute. With the Lord, a day is as a 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So it's been 6,000 years. What do you do for the first 6 days? You work and travail. But what happens on the seventh day? You rest. Or in this case, the seventh millennia. It's the millennia of rest. So new-bodied believers, it's you and me, that's when we are ruling and reigning with Christ. We've been given assignments. 7 years the church has been with the Lord with our new bodies. Revelation 19, down we all come. Old Testament believers and tribulation saints have gotten their new bodies. And now, moving into thousand-year reign, some of the humans still have survived through, including the 144,000 and all of those who have believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus comes down, and when he sets up his millennial reign, guess who are the extensions of his administration? You and I are. Why is it important that we get some of these things down? Because I think there's something synonymous. Our obedience before our brand new bodies, and how much we trusted in God's word, how much we stepped out in his ministry, will likely determine our position there in the millennial reign. Well, then the millennial reign ends. 1,000 years have come and gone. Lucifer is let out one more time, and he gathers a great big army. Planet Earth has been redone back to its Eden-like condition. There's no carcinogens, and there's no pollutions. The devil, he comes out and he says, "Hey, humans, are you tired of this earthly reign of this guy?" Oh, Jesus himself. Love, joy, peace. Are you tired of perfect earth? A bunch of the humans go, "Yeah, you got any ideas?" "Yes," says Lucifer, "follow me." And no matter what you and I tell the humans, no, don't follow that. The Bible says an innumerable army is led around the hills of Jerusalem and just about ready to attack Jesus. Did that work very well for the humans in Armageddon? That's when God blows the whistle. That's it. And then comes the great white throne judgment. That's when the book of Revelation says that the sea gave up its dead and hell gave up its dead, the temporary holding place, Hades. If we die today, your body stays here, but your spirit either goes to be with the Lord if you're a believer. If his finished work on the cross, his blood has washed your sin, you're immediately with the Lord. What if you have rejected his free gift? Then your body stays here and you go to this temporary holding place, hell, until this day. That's the second death. That's when all the rest are regenerated and they get their new bodies. Make no mistake, everybody gets a new eternal body. But there's only one of two locations where they will spend that eternity. Either with Jesus and God the Father, the Holy Spirit, all the angelic realm, light and beauty and music and design and perfection, or to the other place where all of God's attributes will not be. The new heaven and then the new earth, both cleansed from evil. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying or pain. And, says the book of Revelation, no memory of the former things. Oh, I can't be happy in heaven if I know my is in hell. You won't have any memory of them. The new Jerusalem, the 12 gates and 12 foundations, and nothing sinful ever enters God's creation after that. Well, that's the rundown right there. Verse 3, let's zoom to the end. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. the stars, if you will, and those who turn many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. We are living in the generation that is right in front. And the Bible says here in the book of Daniel 12, if we think about eternity a lot more than we think about how we're doing here and the square footage of my home or the model car that I drive, whenever we're nudged by the Holy Spirit to share our faith, did you know that the Bible says that is going to be celebrated for all eternity? Verse 4, but you, Daniel, close up or shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. The majority believe this is a reference to traveling great distances. And some have even said traveling the world. When this was written, 500 BC, about the fastest you could go would be on a swift horse. A horse can run 30 miles an hour. Hair's blowing, woohoo! But traveling the world, that would be kind of rough. Sir Isaac Newton, he was a great mathematician, of course, but he was a Bible commentator as well. He wrote a lot of commentaries on Bible prophecy, and he comments on this actual section in Daniel chapter 12. And he believes that it was in reference to humans traveling the world. And then he put his huge brain to work on it. He goes, you know, for a man to travel around the world, he would have to attain speeds of at least 50 miles per hour. Said Sir Isaac Newton in the 1500s. There was a contemporary atheist at the time, a French semi-scientist named Voltaire. And he commented on Sir Isaac Newton's crazy postulation. Quote, that doddering fool, Newton. Every scientist knows that if a man travels more than 40 miles per hour, his heart would certainly stop. Anyway, and knowledge will increase. Let me ask you, do you think knowledge is increasing? Did you know that 80% of all the scientists who have ever lived are still alive? Buckminster Fuller, if you're familiar with him, he died in 1983. He was quite a fella. He was an American architect, and he was a systems theorist, author, designer, and inventor. He published more than 30 books. He popularized such terms as spaceship Earth. That was Buckminster Fuller. He put something together that he called the knowledge doubling curve. And he said, you know, from about 100 BC to 1700 AD, or 1800 years, the knowledge doubled from 100 BC to 1700 AD. And then from 1700 to 1900, it doubled again. Then from 1900, well into the Industrial Revolution, how long do you suppose it took to double information and knowledge then? Old into 1950, 50 years. From 1950 to 1970, it doubled again. Now we're into 20. And from 1970 to 1980, it doubled. 10 years. It doubled from 1980 to 1988. And now is estimated that all man's base knowledge doubles about every 12 months. It's safe to say that knowledge is increasing. And according to an interesting study by IBM, and because of the internet, listen to this. Biological knowledge and information doubles every 18 months. Corporate information doubles every 18 months. Genetic information every 18 months. Clinical knowledge doubles every 18 months. And the internet itself doubles every, hang on, 12 hours. Estimates IBM. So let me ask you, are people traveling around the globe? Has anybody been traveling faster than 50 miles per hour recently? And his knowledge increasing, looks like Daniel's prophecy was right on the button. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, two angels. One on this riverbank. Remember in chapter 10, he tells us where he is. He's on the Tigris River. And the other on the other riverbank, that would be the Euphrates. And one said to the man clothed in linen, this is probably Gabriel, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Verse 7, then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever. In other words, this is going to happen, Daniel. That it shall be for time one, times plus two, or now three, and a half a time, a half, 3.5 years. When the power of the holy people, Israel, has been completely shattered midway through the great tribulation. Israel cries out in Hosea chapter 5, we've looked at that before, come Jesus, they say, as they are fearing for their lives. Zechariah says 2 out of every 3 are being killed. All these things shall be finished. So from the time the Antichrist sets up his own image in the Holy of Holies, that's halfway through, Matthew chapter 24, until the time Jesus Messiah returns to destroy him, will be 3.5 years. Now verse 8. Then I said, well, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? In other words, when it's going to happen again? And then he said, Daniel, go ahead and head home or go your way. For the words are closed up and sealed until when, everybody? Till the time of the end. And you should write in your margin, right now. We are reading and we are understanding and grasping what Daniel could only postulate. We are living in this time, you guys. And during this last 3.5 years, many shall be purified, made white, refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Is this a reference to that the wicked will have no interest in end times Bible prophecy? They won't believe it even if you share it with them. These are the ones that Jesus described, Paul would describe, as like a thief in the night. We weren't expecting that. But the wise shall understand. Hey, Harvest, you here tonight. Daniel says that when we study end times Bible prophecy, you are wise to do so. Verse 11, and from the time that daily sacrifice is taken away, that happens at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation, and the abomination desolation is set up. That's an unfortunate translation. The Hebrew word for set up is nathan. Nathan. And it comes from the root word that means to give over or to grant or to deliver over to something else. What this kind of saying is, when the image is finally taken down, something is happening here. Let me read that one more time. Verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifices were taken away, that's the abomination of desolation, halfway through, and that the abomination of desolation is given over or taken down, there shall be 1,290 days. Wait a minute. I thought from the abomination of desolation to when Jesus comes back, Revelation 19, is 1,260 days, or a time times and a half a time. That's correct. Well, according to 1,290 days, Jesus comes back to the earth, and it takes him 15 days before he takes the thing down. Yes. Why? The answer is, I don't really know. Jesus, when he comes back, lets the abomination, or at least that little idol thing, hang out in the Holy of Holies for 15 additional days. Speculation, is this when the judgment of the nations is taking place? You read about that in Ezekiel chapter 20 and also Matthew chapter 25. That's when there's the rod and then the separation of the sheep and the goats. There are some nations that help Israel during the last 3.5 years. They're going to be blessed for it. There are some nations who didn't help, and they're going to be judged for it. Is it possible that part of this judgment of the Gentiles, that Jesus says, as it were, look at the idol that I'm allowing to hang out for another 2 weeks and 1 day. You all bowed down and worshipped that. As Jesus stands in his full resurrected glory. Could be. Verse 12. And he who waits, who comes to the 1,345 days. Now this is 45 days after Jesus has touched down on the Mount of Olives and moved into Jerusalem. Now 45 days later, is that because all the judgments are completed? We have our brand new bodies. We have no ability to think about sin any longer. We have all the spiritual gifts probably working through us. There's no Lucifer on the planet anymore. And the Bible says that planet Earth is restored to its Eden-like condition. Some people say, well, I hope God gives me Hawaii, you know. But I got news for you. The whole planet's going to be Hawaii. Even the poles, potentially. North and South Pole. So Earth has been restored. New-bodied believers have gotten their assignments and their new territories. And human Israel is finally seeing the fulfillment of their promises that they would be priests for an entire planet. And Israel is the greatest nation in the world. And the highest mountaintop is Mount Zion, where Jerusalem sits. Verse 13, but you, Daniel, go your way until the end. For you shall rest. What that means is, you're going to die. Remember what started this whole beautiful revelation was Daniel praying in Daniel chapter 10. Lord, what's going to happen to my people? What's going to happen to your people? What's going to happen to your beloved Israel? And all these prophecies are the answer. Now watch this. But you, verse 13, go your way, Daniel, till the end. For you shall rest. You're not going to see a lot of these things. You're going to go the way of men and dust to dust and ashes to ashes. But don't worry, Daniel. Look, everyone. But don't worry. You will arise. And will arise to your inheritance at the very end of the days. What that means is, you're going to go to sleep in the form of your body will rest in the earth. And Daniel, because he was before the cross, his spirit went to be in a place called paradise, Abraham's bosom. And they were awaiting Jesus to say, it is finished. Paul says before Jesus ascended into heaven, he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He went down to the paradise where Abraham's bosom and all the Old Testament saints where they were. And he basically said, hey Daniel, hey Isaiah, hey Ezekiel, hey Moses, hey everybody who believed what my word said. I am the fulfillment. Let's get out of here. And up they went. Because Jesus has now paid for all sin. Is there any more sin separating us now from being with intimately the holy pure God? No more. And that's why he led captivity captive. And all the Old Testament saints are now with Jesus Christ. And that's the promise for any of us. If I get hit by a cement truck, sorry for the mess, everybody. My body stays here, but I am immediately with Jesus Christ. So there was Daniel. He's now with the Lord Jesus Christ. All Old Testament and New Testament saints. But there's going to come a day when he hears the trumpet for his resurrection, a portion of the first resurrection. He gets a brand new body. And then God will give him an assignment. And Daniel, like you and me, will be responsible for administrating a portion of God's beautiful millennial reign through Jesus Christ. One more time, if you wouldn't mind, verse 13, "But you go your way until the end, for you shall rest, but will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days." Remember how he said to Daniel, go ahead and close up the book, close up the Bible? John Corson points out something really interesting about this point. He says, have you ever noticed that there are some portions of Scripture that when you first read them, they were good because God's Word never returns void. They're powerful and they are full of principles and truths. And we were blessed by it. Years later, see the same verse and suddenly there's a brand new fresh application. Ding! You see, that's kind of how God's Word is. It will never return to Him void. In other words, it comes off the page, through my brain, through my heart, through my life, and returns to Him, and some of it stuck. Praise God. But there are times when the Lord has said to you and said to me, A, B, C. And for some of you, it was years ago. And a verse jumped off the page and attached itself to your heart. It was a promise of some kind. It was a powerful principle that at the moment you said, I know this is important. And you sort of put it on the shelf. There is a time when God opens the door of rhema application. And the same verse you've cherished for years, suddenly the word to you is, now, go. I know that's some life for some folks here tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, those that are weary, you remember that time, maybe it was decades ago. And now when you remember those details, you almost laugh. Oh man, what a joke. Maybe God is saying, I had to put you to sleep for a while because you weren't ready. But maybe soon and very soon, that promise to you is, now, rise and see your inheritance. In Jesus' name, and all of us resting said, Amen.